said, I really just want to say, I want to repeat. And to some degree, Dave took some of my thunder last week as well, which is great because we need to hear the same thing sometimes, don't we, quite often. And we have started a new series. I don't think we've really nailed down a proper series title, but it's about not settling for anything less than God's best. Not settling for God's best. And when you think of that concept of how God is and how good God is and what God accomplished, and that prayer in Ephesians 1, again, that we have our eyes of our understanding enlightened. You know, the cloud of witnesses are speaking to us, not really out of their earthly testimony that God was good and God got us through. But I imagine they're saying they're in heaven with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords going, speechless. The expressions on their faces would be just off the scale. How can you express that side of glory? Come on. He's done so much more than our peanut brains are embracing. He's done so much more than our experience are dictating to us. He's done so much more, so much more. So how can we not be walking in less than his best? Because it's a journey, isn't it? We're traversing into more and more of his best every day. But sometimes, like God has said through Adrienne, we do get a bit of a sleep on us, don't we? You can raise your hands and encourage me if you want. But sometimes I get a bit lazy, a bit comfortable, a bit settled, a bit, I think I'll just walk till I die and get there safely. Because that's what we're like, aren't we? Because I don't want to live sometimes because it's just too hard. So what I'll do is I'll just stay comfy and I'll just try and ease past that little problem and we'll get through that one and I'll just do enough and I'll turn up. Well, twice a week's okay because that's just enough religion to get me inoculated against a relationship. I'm sorry. So we want God's best, don't we?
Yes.
And today, God has the invitation is always there, but today it's real rhema word, isn't it? More expanse and increase. And I felt like shouting, over here, Jesus! That's what we should be like, isn't it? Not, go on then. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. That's a lie of the devil. You know, if we were in a crowd and there was just one, and Jesus said only one can have it, tell you what, I'd be jumping pretty high. I love you guys and I want you to have that one because it is for the one. But I want to leap as high as I can and say, me?
That's right. Amen.
Because. Because it's logic. It's not just because I love him. It's not just because he's indescribably gorgeous and irresistible. But it's logic. It's logic. I need him. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And all those gifts and empowerments and deliverances and healings and the weapons of my war. What? It's necessary, isn't it? Okay. So that's the title anyway. So my mini title is Let God Arise. And look at that, I'm not nervous at all. Let God arise, let God arise, let God arise. Let me just read this. I think the Bible's poetry. And sometimes when I read it, I get feelings. I swoon. I just get this like, oh, wow. It's just sort of, it's snug, isn't it? It fits. It's just, in Psalm 46, this, I haven't got a full understanding of this, but just when I read it, Psalm 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the sea, Though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. I just think that's beautiful. I don't know why. It's like God singing that to me.
Yeah.
Jim, though the earth shake, though the seas rage, has anybody got stuff in their life? Thank God for that. Do you know, I've got enough stuff to shake a stick at. I think sometimes I've got the stuff of the street. And then in my job, I see service users and clients who've got more stuff than me. But we've all got stuff, haven't we? The earth is changing, isn't it? It says here, though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the sea. You know, those mountains, I think, are just the establishment of the planet. And isn't everything moving?
Yeah.
You know, the judiciary, the priesthood, education, the police, politicians, these institutions that should be rock solid and mountains in a good sense, aren't they all quaking? Right. Isn't the whole earth changing? Though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the sea and its waters roar. Verse 4, Jim, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That word streams there can mean in the Hebrew channels or canals. And Jesus is the best thing since sliced bread, isn't he? He's the center of the universe. It's his story, isn't it? History, it's all about Jesus. But I can't get away from Holy Spirit at the minute. I can't get away from he needs to be released in the midst of his church.
Right.
He needs to come and increase. We need to sharpen our pencils every day to be aware of his presence, that it's not by might, it's not by power, and allow the river of God that makes glad the city of God. There is a river, just one river, and the streams make glad the city of God. Do you know you're a channel today?
Amen.
You are a canal of God. Sometimes, I don't like the word canal because it's a bit stagnant and it pictures stagnation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You can raise your hand, guilty as charged, if you want. But there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams on healing on the streets make glad Ormskirk of God. We're trying to make Ormskirk the city of God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Skelmersdale, Parbold, Orton, Latham, anywhere else you come from, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A couple of years, many years ago, I'm terrible with time. I say 3 years on the phone and Nikki shouts from the living room. It was 20 years ago. I've lost the plot. But some time ago, we went on a water meter. Because there's only two of us, no kids and all that kind of washing stuff, we thought we'll go on a water meter, we'll save money. So our water, now, it changes your head when you get a water meter. It does. Now, I think I like to be generous. I don't think I'm tight. I'm frugal. I'm clever with my money, not tight. But now, I don't leave the hose running as long as it used to. Because I know I'm paying for every drop. And I was just wondering, you know, the water board know exactly how much water passes through our house on a day. And I pay for it. And I was just wondering. I wonder if we had a Holy Ghost meter. I wonder if we had a Holy Ghost meter and we could calculate how much of the flow went through us on a daily basis. How much have you spent today in the Holy Ghost? Tuppence halfpenny? £150 today? You've been really generous and you've gone like £1,000 worth of Holy Ghost through you? And what about tomorrow? And what about the next day? Because unlike me paying, he's already paid.
Yeah.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. I could stop there, really, couldn't I? Really, because that's the point, isn't it? All I want is to increase his flow in and through my life. And that's what he wants. This is not my idea. If you think that, I may as well just sit down and go home and give up. I believe this is God's idea, God's call, God's invitation, so that me individually, you individually, us as a body of believers, allow such a more, such an increase of that river to flow in and through us, to make glad your city, your neighbors, your noisy neighbors, your neighborhood. Wherever you are right now, there are dry and arid and barren places. And you and I are responsible for the flow of that one river through the many members of this body called OCF. What's your flow rate? What's your flow rate? And Jesus, he's great, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't just teach, does he? He demonstrates. It's just the Gospels are fantastic. If you don't read your Bible, you're daft as an apath. But, you know, there's such a lot in the Word, isn't it? And Jesus doesn't just teach us. And when Mike says he wants a more of an understanding of the Word, it's an understanding not that we're clever, not that we hold it up here in our noggins, but that our lives have the wonder and the dynamism of that Word, so that we can demonstrate that Word. Yeah. So those truths are not just known. They're known. They're experientially in encounters in our life every day. So, because it's the truth that sets us free. It's not just known. It's that truth that is tabernacle in us and through us that makes glad our cities. And Jesus wonderfully in John 4, this is lovely. He talks to this woman. The Jews and the Samaritans at this time didn't get on. And Jesus comes to a well. And John 4 verses, I'll go from verse 9. Oh, hallelujah. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman?" Double whammy. Peace. "And a woman, ask me for a drink, for the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." Here's Jesus demonstrating the flow of the river. Watch this. Watch Jimmy Brown. Watch and learn. Here's Jesus just going through his life with the river unimpeded. Oh, glory to God. Here's Jesus just comes in his life and has a conversation, a very wet conversation with a Samaritan woman. Oh, glory to God. And he says, he just lets the river flow. And this is how easy it is to let the river flow, ret the liver. You don't want to be retting any livers. This is how easy it is to let the river flow. Wherever you are, whoever's in front of you, whoever's in front of you at any given time, when you're awake, when you sleep, in your dreams, just allowing that river of life to flow. And it is. I want God to awaken us, open our eyes, so that when we are with each other and with the people that we're with, we're cognizant of this river. We're cognizant of this flow. And we just allow the ease. It's easy. It might not be always simple, but it's easy. Just to let that love. And we don't know the other side of that flow. And Jesus demonstrates it. He says, "If you had only known and recognized God's gift and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." People don't know who they're talking to when they're talking to Andrew Lee. He's a son of the King.
Amen.
Come on. People just don't even know the river that's flowing through that man. They don't know. If they had known, they'd have asked you for river, living water. But you're just going to converse. And then this woman gives Jesus two responses. First of all, it's very practical. And I wish there was a Scouse Bible. I wish there was a Liverpool Bible. She basically said, "You having a laugh? You haven't even got a bucket. And that deeps pretty well. That deeps. I should be doing this. Wouldn't think so, would you? It's going to get worse. That well's pretty deep. You haven't even got a bucket. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that little voice in your ear? Practically speaking, you ain't got it. Practically speaking, you can't give me anything. Practically speaking, you can't do it. You couldn't be a writer. You haven't got the business acumen. You haven't got the contacts. You've got nothing. You haven't got it. This particular well's pretty deep. I could point out all of us, and we've all got testimony in circumstances where life or the devil has said, can't happen.
That's true. That's
it
true.
Can't happen. Yeah. You haven't even got. Lies.
Lies.
Absolute lies. Yeah. You haven't even got. I'll show you, Jesus said. I'll show you. And then the next response is, are you greater than our ancestor, Jacob? It's not just practically you can't do it, but your experience doesn't live up to it.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
You've got a past that can't live up to it. Mm-hmm. You've got an experience that can't live up to it. You can't do it because... And then he writes it on the wall of your heart, doesn't he? You did this, and you did this, and you did this. Are you greater than my experience? And when pastors on the streets, healing on the streets and street pastors, mixing me metaphors, it's just allowing the flow to flow, isn't it? It's just allowing that river, breaking these teeth in, just allowing that river to flow.
Jesus,
and when people give us excuses, there's no excuse big enough, is there? There's no reason why that river can't flow. There's nothing practical, physical, emotional, psychological, historical, financial. There's nothing that he, the devil, or life can say to us if we don't allow it, if we just allow that river to flow. If we allow today the increase of that river through you as a channel and as a stream of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus just demonstrates his unconditional love. He answers to her dry place. All who drink of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. Never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto eternal life. And all of a sudden, this hard heart, Samaritan woman, begins to soften. Something's happening. Something's going on, not just here, but here. Something's happening on her heart, in her heart. You can't see it. I encourage you to keep on. Yeah. I encourage you to keep on allowing the river to flow. Yeah. Don't look with these eyes.
No.
Don't look with your carnal eyes, because something's going on. As long as we're letting the river flow, something's going on. And it's on the increase. We can see Jesus just started, and then all of a sudden, he gets a little bit deeper. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never thirst, nor have to come continually all the way here to draw." At this, Jesus said to her, oh, glory to God. You could call this sneaky if you want. This is the wisdom of God. At this, Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come back. Just drawing her in. Go and call your husband. See, the river now has given him wisdom. The river now is giving him a word of knowledge. The river now is opening up his eyes as he's letting it flow on about this particular woman. As he just converses with her and allows the river to flow, all of a sudden, he knows that she's had five husbands. And the chap she's living with now is not even her husband. Go and get your husband. That's fabulous. Isn't that dead sneaky of God? It is. He lets his unconditional love flow. He does not judge her.
No.
The river doesn't come with judgment. The river doesn't come with condemnation. The river doesn't come with any pointed fingers.
No.
It just comes with truth and love. It just comes with truth and love. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, yeah, you're right there. It doesn't say that. But you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. I need to rush on a bit. Verses 28. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let God arise. Then the woman left her water jar and went away to the town, and she began telling the people. Just one very wet conversation. Just one very fluid, liquid, wet, drenched, soaked in the Holy Ghost conversation. There was no airs and graces. There was no speaking in tongues. There was no Bible bashing. There was no religiosity. There was just the allowance of the river to flow. And then all of a sudden, this woman is touched by that unconditional love. And then she goes and tells the town. Come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Can this not be the Messiah? I think that's lovely. Yeah. Come and see a man. And in verse 39 to 41, many believed because the river had flowed unimpeded through a man who was submitted to it, through a woman who was submitted to him. Come and see a man. I love that. I love that so much. Come and see a man. You know, all our efforts, all our programs, all our projects, all our whatever we do, central theme is that, isn't it? Come and see a man. Come and see a man. This is not the gas man, the Aleki man, the man from the Pru. Yeah. This is no ordinary man, no average man. It's not common man. It's not Iceman, Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Superman. Come and see a man who laid his back bare, the cat of nine tails, striped it so you could be healed. Come and see a man. Yeah. Come and see a man who hung on a cross and took all your sin and shame. Come and see a man. Yeah. Come and see a man. Come and see a man. Come and see the great I am man. Come and see the lover of your soul man. Come and see the glory on the lifter of your head man. Come and see the Savior man.
Amen.
Come and see Emmanuel man.
Amen.
Come and see a man. You just start describing Jesus. You'll preach yourself happy. It'll take about 2 minutes flat. That's all you have to do. You don't have to drink certain things or take certain things. You just start describing the man, Jesus. If you don't get a smile on your face within 2 minutes, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. I'm saying 2 minutes being kind.
Yeah.
It'll take about 10 seconds flat. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the man who just threw stars into space and created the universe. He's the man who said in 1979, Jimmy Brown, I love you. And I went, yeah. Come and see a man who has unconditional love and never judge you or condemn you or put you down, who always wants to come and see a man. He's the best man. In John 7, Jesus just reiterates and sort of hammers home this whole thing about the river. 37 to 39, it says, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Spirit. Well, if Jesus wants me to have it, he'll have it. If God wants me to have it, it'll come. That's a load of cobblers, to put it in the vernacular. He was thirsty. He shouted with a loud voice on the day, the most important day of the feast. He was thirsty, let him come and ask of me. I've not got a full understanding of this, but there's something in being desperate. There's something in being thirsty. There's something in us being sleepy, as Adrian said. There's something in that we need to sharpen our pencil every single day. There's something in be being filled. People of God, we've got to be thirsty.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're not thirsty because we're full of other stuff. Coca-Cola stuff. Fizzy drinks. I used to think that there was an ocean full of Coke, but it was just a fantasy. I'm sorry. Sometimes we're full of fizzy pop. We're just full of fizzy pop. We watch the wrong stuff and we spend... I haven't got time to read my Bible. Sorry. How many hours... I'm not having to go at telly. I love telly. I watch telly. But you know what? He was thirsty. Let him come and ask. People of God, ask for the river. Yeah. People of God, get desperate. One of the psalmist said, as the deer pants. You know, in the Middle East, if you didn't get to water, that deer, if it panted for the water spouts, if it didn't get there, it couldn't go to Tesco, it couldn't go anywhere else.
Nope.
If it didn't get to that water, it were dead. That's where we need to be.
Yeah.
So that if we don't get to God,
no,
we're dead.
That's right.
And you know what? That's the truth.
That is the truth. Yeah.
That is the truth. It's not, I survive. He wants to survive. I don't want to survive. I want to live.
Amen.
I want to be alive. Mm. There is a river of God whose streams make glad the city of God. Mm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please be thirsty. Please check your thirst. Mm. You know, that it's a strategy of the enemy is to diminish your river. A strategy of the devil is to diminish and divert the flow of the river of God in your life. I want to expose that to you. If you read in Isaiah 44 and 45, it was prophesied of a king, a Persian king called Cyrus. And Cyrus, 150 years before it happened, in October, how did he get so precise? It's great. It's probably a Thursday. October 539 BC, that's not before the common era, that's before Christ. The Persian king Cyrus came to the walls of Babylon. And the walls were 70 feet thick. And he said, I am unable to see how any enemy can take these walls of such strength by assault. You can Google this. It's a really interesting story. The river Euphrates ran in through the gates, submerged gates, ran into Babylon, went through Babylon, and came out the other side through submerged gates. And he came to these walls, these 70-foot thick walls, and said, I can't do it. He had an idea. He got all of his men to dig channels, and they diverted the river into a dry basin. And so he put some of his men at the entrance of the river, and he put some men at the exit of the river, and then he came to the, made a loud noise, and withdrew. The people didn't notice the river went down, exposing the submerged gates. And so his men, it's recorded in history, with the water at their thighs, were able to go under the gates and take Babylon. That scares me. That takes my breath a little bit. What's the flow like in your river? What's the flow rate in my river? Am I diverted?
Yeah.
That's a tactic of the enemy, is to divert the flow of the river.
Yeah.
By all kinds of stuff. By accusation, by disappointment.
Mm.
Fear, anxiety.
Yeah.
Falling out with each other.
Mm.
And all the other million of ways that you find in your life.
Yeah.
The river is diverted. It's an enemy of the tactic. And let me tell you, we have an enemy who's not mamby-pamby.
No.
He wants to steal and kill and destroy you.
That's right.
That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But that's the enemy of God. The enemy of you wants to divert the river so he can gain access into your life. And you know what? If we're not careful, we won't even notice.
Mm.
Babylon. It's not prophesied just because God's saying, look at me, I'm dead clever. No. I'm going to tell you this 150 years before it happens. It's there for our example.
Right.
It's there to warn us and cause us to watch the river, not watch the activity.
Yeah.
Kenny Dalglish once was being interviewed by someone, and he said, well, what about, I can't remember the other team, he said, what about their defense? What about their attack? What about their goalie? What about, and he says, if we just play our game, we'll beat them. And sometimes we, it might have been Bob Paisley, a Liverpool manager. But that's a truth.
That is, yeah.
We get diverted. What about? What about? What about? I pray for us that we have our pencil sharp and that we can see our game.
Yeah.
That we can just concentrate on who we are. So we can just be flinty-faced and go to our Jerusalem and do what we're supposed to do. And allow that river just to flow.
Yeah.
He couldn't assault, by assault, take Babylon. And we're protected. And that flow of that river is part of our life force, but our protection as well. Please let it flow.
Amen.
That's the first half. But I've been really taken with a second point to this, and I feel this is the word of God. I'll just give you the scriptures here and we'll do it. I'll read it. Numbers 9, for those who are living on listening to the podcast, it's 9 and verses 16 to 23. So it was constantly. The cloud covered the tabernacle by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, after that the Israelites journeyed, and in the place where the cloud rested, there the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites journeyed, and at his command they encamped. As long as the cloud rested upon the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle many days, the Israelites kept the Lord's charge and did not set out. And sometimes the cloud was there only a few days upon the tabernacle, but according to the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at his command they journeyed. And it goes on, and it basically saying, listen, children of Israel only moved when the cloud moved.
Yeah.
If it was there 3 hours, the middle of the night, on a Saturday or Sunday, when their best program was on, when they were feeling good or bad or ugly, when that cloud moved, they moved.
Yeah.
I just feel this is a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying to Nikki today, you know, it's either in or out. It's either on or off. And so I'm going in. I believe God is saying to you as an individual, I'm on the move.
Mm.
I believe God is saying to us as a church, the cloud is moving.
Amen.
The cloud is moving.
Mm.
What are we doing?
Mm.
What are you doing?
Mm.
Are you sensitive? Are you aware? Are you distracted? God is on the move.
That's right.
And maybe in your life he's moved. And that's why you're feeling so bad.
Mm.
Maybe because you've allowed your river to become stagnant, you don't know you're up from you're down. Today's a new day. Today's an opportunity and an invitation to turn to what repent means and face the cloud and face the moving of his spirit.
Yeah.
God is moving.
Amen.
And I tell you, for me and my house, I'm going. I'm going with him.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anywhere else, because wherever he is, that's the best place to be.
Amen.
Wherever
Amen.
He's going, that's the best place to be. It could be the middle of a war zone, but if he's there and he wants you with him, that's the safest place to be. It's not the comfortable, that's not safe. It's not the distracted, because the devil will distract you and divert your river.
Yeah.
I want to be where he is.
Amen.
There's a t-shirt. I want to be where he is, and I just want to prophesy this over you, that God is on the move.
Amen.
Psalm 68, verse 1, it says, let God arise. When the cloud began to move, Moses would cry, a loud cry, and shout. Imagine the enemies round about this. Some of them watching. Some of them, they were acutely aware of the children of Israel because of what had happened to Sion and Argezi. They were terrified of the children of Israel because of God. And when God was on the move, Moses would cry, let God, I won't do it because of the mic, but let God arise, let his enemies be scattered as smoke is driven away from the fire and so on, at the presence of God. And I believe God is on the move. And Psalm 68 says that. And then at the very end of Psalm 68, verse 34 and 35, it says this: ascribe power and strength to God. His majesty is over Israel, and his strength and might are in the skies. O God, awe-inspiring, profoundly impressive, and terrible are you out of your holy places. The God of Israel himself gives strength and fullness of might to his people. Blessed be God. I have a question. You are his holy place. Is God awe-inspiring and proud, profoundly impressive and terrible through you? So I felt God say something to me. And me being an obedient child, as best I can, I bought a shofar horn. And I want to do something. I don't want to go all Old Testament or Jewish. But I just feel I want to do something. Obviously, I'm doing this physically. And this could go terribly wrong. Because I've only had it 4 or 5 days. But I want to do something in the spirit. And I want to do it in faith.
Amen.
And I want you to imagine your life, your circumstance, and your situation where God needs to arise. Yeah, would you stand with you? I'm just gonna attempt to blow this, and I just want you to imagine God rising in your circumstances. I want you to imagine God putting the fear of God in your enemies. And let God arise and let his enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.